Good morning. Welcome everyone to the Lord's house this morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors to sign down the row. If this is your first time visiting Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you drop by and let us know this is your first time visiting, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Board members, please remember that the September board meeting is at noon today. Immediately following this service, it'll be upstairs in the upper room. As our annual turkey dinner on Thursday and Friday, November 7th and 8th, is approaching, tickets are now available to be picked up and sold. Tickets for the quilt raffle are also available back at the table in the foyer. And the bazaar crafting days are also underway. And the turkey dinner planning meeting is also taking place tomorrow at tomorrow evening, September 23rd, in the Fellowship Hall. This year's Fall Festival will be at the home of Don and Judy Thomas on Sunday, October 6th, beginning at 4 o'clock. We'd like to encourage you to also use this Sunday as a unique opportunity to invite family members and friends to join us for worship and to also share in this very enjoyable afternoon annual tradition. Please read through the information in your bulletin announcement page to learn more about next Sunday's reconciliation offering and the CWF regional meeting. And please welcome Josh Whistler this morning as he's serving as our music director for while Andrew is in Ohio visiting family. Welcome, Josh. Good to see you again. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Then I would like to invite Josh to lead us in our call to worship.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and be safe. Give yourself to the Lord. Trust in him and he will help you. He will make your righteousness shine like the noonday sun. And please remain standing for hymn number 72, To God be the glory. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son.
but purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Thank you to Jace Egret for being our acolyte this morning. May we bow in a word of prayer. O God, as we see summer transition to fall, we recognize you as the creator and the shepherd of all seasons. We give thanks for the nurturing rain this morning and the cooler temperatures. We begin to experience the tasks of autumn, preparing for our fall festival and our annual turkey dinner. And we know that you, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, are with us in all of our seasons. We invite the living presence of Jesus Christ into our midst now as we begin our worship together, and we pray for a worship experience that we may carry into our lives this upcoming week. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you this morning. Please be seated. I'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you all? This morning it was raining, and I asked the little ones at the first service if they liked the rain, and they said yes. And then I said, then why don't you like the snow? And of course, I had to think about that one for a while, because Midwesterners don't like the snow like this Northerner does. So I wanted to tell you some, we've been talking about the crop walk, which is coming up October 13th. They also give locally in the Kansas City area, and I wanted to be able to tell the adults as well as you who they give to in the Kansas City area. 25% of the funds go to Catholic Charities, Community Assistance Council, Cherith Brook Catholic Worker, Community Services League, First Christian Church in North Kansas City, Kansas City Community Gardens, Lazarus Ministries, Metropolitan Lutheran Ministries, Raytown Summer Lunch Program, Reconciliation Services, Seton Center, Sheffield Center, Shepherd Center Central, and Uplift. So those are a lot of agencies, and you know, we have a food pantry here at Berry Christian Church. I actually used it. I've used it a few times. And the first time I used it was back in 2000. I had lost my job and didn't have unemployment benefits. And so someone said, well, go over to that church over on Berry Road. And I was like, okay. So they didn't ask me any income questions. They just helped me and gave me groceries. And they were really nice. So the next Sunday I thought, I grew up United Methodist, but they were pretty nice. I'm going to go back to that church. And I actually went back to my boss, because I was working at the seminary at the time, and I said, what is Disciples of Christ? And he said, you'll be fine. He said, they submerge, which means for baptism, instead of sprinkle, like United Methodists do. They just touch your head. And he said, and they do communion every week. And I said, that's it? And he said, pretty much, because he was United Methodist. And I said, okay. So I came back to visit, and Rita Knopf, who works up in the nursery, remembered my name. And that was like 19 years ago. So that's how I came to be involved in Berry Christian Church. So sometimes all it takes is somebody being nice to you. They don't have to know all the particulars of our doctrine, our history, all of those things. They don't have to come to 25 different meetings, though they like you to come to a few meetings. But it's really simple. If you're nice to someone, sometimes that's all it takes is for someone to come back. So I found this article because the Church World Services give us all kinds of things for the crop walk. And they talked about empathy. And we've talked about empathy and compassion in the past. Compassion, you probably know what that is. That's when you kind of feel sorry for someone. And if they hurt themselves, you say, oh, gosh, I bet it hurts, you know, and I hope you get better, and sorry this and sorry that. But empathy is, I'll read you this. It's perfect for the crop walk, too, because it talks about shoes. Empathy means we wear the shoes of people in need and walk with them. Do you know what it means to walk in someone else's shoes? It means to experience or feel what it would be like to be them, to be hungry, to be thirsty, to have to walk every day to ask for help in their shoes. And that's what empathy is. So as I was getting out of the car this morning with my umbrella, I always feel real rich because I have an umbrella. Is that silly? But I just think it's crazy because I drive past people that are on the corner every day because I drive into the city. And there's people that live under the bridges and people that are living in the woods. And here I am with an umbrella. So that just feels kind of hoity-toity, having an umbrella, you know, because people don't have umbrellas. They don't even have rain shoes. They're standing out in the corners with wet shoes and stuff. So when I got out of my car today, I thought, empathy. I'm going to see what it feels like to walk in the rain and not pretend I have an umbrella. So that's what I did. And that's what empathy is. You live like somebody else is living. You don't always have to have something to protect you and be safe and think a drop of water is going to hurt you and all that crazy stuff that some of us feel like that live in the United States, as well as people that have a home and heat and those kind of things. So let's pray. Dear God, we learn these things in Sunday school and church. Let us take this out into the community and think about others that we pass. We see those that don't have anything, and we can pray for them. We can also live in our heart and think about how they must feel. We can gather things at home and put them in a Ziploc baggie and pass them out. But it's your life that has given us the example of how to live. And we want to live like that outside of church, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not just on Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jill. As we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to remember this week. Catherine O'Neill has been undergoing some tests this last week and looks forward to receiving results here in the near future. And we're glad that David Haynes is out of the hospital now. We have upcoming surgeries for Peggy Treese, Barbara Mayberry, and also Bob Maddox here in September and October. And Linda Stevens' family, we're remembering her daughter, Lisa, who's anticipating hip surgery, as well as we celebrate for her granddaughter, Heather, as she is going to get married this coming Saturday to her fiancé, Sean. Lana Witten's daughter, Amy, and granddaughter, Addie, are in her prayers. Our sympathies extended to Juanita Feltz with the loss of her brother, Larry Ford, after a lengthy battle with cancer. And Perla's family, we're lifting up her nephew's son, Joshua. We continue to remember Betty Donahue with health concerns presently, Joan Casebolt as she's in rehabilitation. We lift up Jerry and Betty Donahue's friend, Nancy Ashworth. We lift up Dave Archer's brother, Joe, as he's recovering from surgery. We lift up in Ted's Ferris's family, his son, Terry, as well as daughter-in-law Cheryl. And you may have noticed when we had the children's moment that we didn't see many of the Jacobo children today, and that's because there's kind of a virus going on in the family, so I think we're all kind of stay away for the present time. We just hope they all get well real soon. So I think these are all the folks for us to remember today, and may we bow our heads in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are blessed to once again offer praise and worship to you this Lord's Day for your abundant grace and mercy, and for your constant love, we offer you thanks. As we seek your abiding strength and comfort for those whom we know have suffered through illness, loss, and uncertainty, we are mindful also of thousands who are once again striving to reconfigure their lives after once again being inundated with massive flooding along the southeast coast of Texas and the southwestern portion of Louisiana. As it is indeed heartbreaking and tiresome for those who have experienced multiple losses over the course of just a couple of years, we seek your Spirit's great comfort and assurance for those fighting despair and uncertainty as assistance comes forth in the days, months, and years ahead. As the uncertainty of our human experience brings tragedy for so many on such a constant basis, may we discover the richness of abiding in your spiritual presence, for it is in the hearts, minds, and spirit of every one of your children that great comfort and confidence resides now and always. For as the text of Deuteronomy chapter 4 reminds us, if we search after you with all our hearts and soul, we shall indeed find you. And thus it is with a measure of confidence, O God, that we offer this prayer to you, as we indeed remember the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Kathy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15, in your pew Bible number 1011. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us.
What drives the stars without making a sound? Why don't they crash when they're spinning around? What holds me up when the world's upside down? I know it's a miracle. Who tells the oceans where to stop on the sand? What keeps the water back from drowning the land? Who makes the rules? I don't understand. I know it's a miracle. It's a miracle just to know God is with me wherever I go. It's a miracle as big as can be, that he can make a miracle of me. Who shows the birds how to make a good nest? How can the geese fly so far without rest? Why do the ducks go south and not west? I know it's a miracle. What makes a brown seed so tiny and dry burst into green, grow up so high, and shoot out blossoms of red by and by? I know it's a miracle. It's a miracle just to know God is with me wherever. It's a miracle as big as can be that he can make a miracle of me. A miracle of me. When a spring makes a brook and a brook makes a stream, the stream makes the river water fresh as can be. Who puts the salt in when it gets to the sea? I know it's a miracle. There are thousands of people in cities I see. The world must be crowded as crowded can be. But God knows my name and he cares about me. I know, I know, I know.
Thank you so much, Peggy and Gail. And you know, we just know also that you just really enjoy singing, don't you? Praise God. Thank you so much. You may have noticed when you were walking up the front steps to the sanctuary this morning that there's some new bushes out there. We left the tags on the plant, you know, kind of like in mini pearl fashion, so you'd know that they were new. No, not really. We left them there because by the time we were trying to get finished, we were getting soaked with the rain, which we're grateful for the rain. But I thought, well, the tags, we can take them off after the mulch is delivered later this week. So they won't be on there forever. But, you know, as we were working away yesterday, someone jokingly asked me, well, Pastor, have you ever called off Sunday worship for painful joints? You know, and I got to thinking for a few moments about how many times worship has, in fact, been canceled over the years, you know, for snow or ice or this or that. I've even lived in some of the southern parts of the country where we even canceled church because there was a chance that we might have some ice. You know, it's like, goodness sakes. And I thought, well, how do I respond to that question? And I said, well, I guess it would be rather difficult for us to call off worship for sore muscles if we consider all that Christ has gone through for us. As we partake in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper this morning, we rejoice in the truth that it is because of God's great love and because of Christ's profound sacrifice that we are redeemed from sin and given the privilege to share in life eternal. This is what we celebrate as we turn to our communion hymn this morning. It's number 615 as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of I Shall Not Be Moved.
I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. When my cross is heavy, I shall not be moved. When my cross is heavy, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. If my friends forsake me, I shall not be moved. If my friends forsake me, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as we are led in prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day you have given us. Please bless these emblems as we come to your table this morning, asking for your guidance in all our thoughts and deeds. May our lives today be to your honor and glory. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Mm-hmm.
voice. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains unending love. Amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Thank you.
done for us, we offer up a portion of our resources today as Kathy first leads us in a word of prayer and we receive our tithes and offerings.
Heavenly Father, because you have blessed us so greatly, may it be with love, gratitude, and generosity that we give back a portion of all our resources. Help us to use these gifts wisely for your purposes and to your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. In her time in history, Lydia was certainly a unique and very prosperous businesswoman. But with all that she had going for her, there was one characteristic about her life that is a characteristic all of us can possess. And that was that Lydia possessed an unquenchable desire to seek after God. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we're grateful for the privilege to be here today to continue our learning of women of Scripture. And as we focus our attention on Lydia, and as she sought after your presence, we know that we can do the same and be equally blessed. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Lydia's home was in a community of a name that's a little difficult for us to pronounce these days. It was Thyatira, T-H-Y-A-T-I-R-A-H. It was a prosperous Macedonian colony that had many trade guilds that had made Macedonia, which is essentially that southern portion of what we now call Greece, a very prosperous portion of the world. And because they not only were very close to the ocean and therefore had access to the oysters that from which they were able to draw a particular kind of purple dye. At the same time, the water quality was the best in that part of the world, and therefore they were able to take cloth and dye the deepest scarlet cloth in the entire Mediterranean region. Those who could produce and sell that cloth made a fortune because the process was such a difficult and expensive one that only the extremely wealthy people of the day could afford purple cloth. It was certainly a time period in which what you wore was a sign of your status in life. Very different from it is to where it is today, where we have corporate heads wearing jeans and t-shirts, you know. In biblical times, what you wore really did reveal your status in the world. Lydia was a woman who possessed her own prosperous business selling this purple cloth. She had moved from Thyatira to Philippi, and she possessed a rather spacious home, and she was open for business. And as a prosperous businesswoman, Lydia could have easily expended all of her time and energy striving to build that business, calling on and entertaining prospective clients from the wealthy clientele, and building that clientele in such a way that it would have expanded throughout the region. That is so often the case, you know, for folks in business that, you know, it's so easy to get so caught up in all the tasks and concerns of one's building of a business that seems like that's all you have time for and no time for God. But yet what we see in Acts chapter 16 is a woman who not only was extremely prosperous in her endeavors in the business world, but she also possessed this unquenchable desire to seek and know God. Now, as you look at the story here in Acts chapter 16, and by the way, I know you'll be watching the game this afternoon, but you know when those commercials all look the same? Read Acts chapter 16. You'll get the bulk of the story of not only Lydia, but also the jailer that came to know Christ. So do that today. You can do it in the commercials today. But we're not sure if Lydia was a Jewish woman or if she was a Greek woman. I'm inclined to think that she was probably Greek because it would have been very difficult for a Jewish woman to have actually owned property. And either way, here she was, a woman who had her own business, and yet what was most important was that she had a yearning heart to know about the one true God, and in Judaism, she found a unique way to worship the one and only true God in a culture of Greco-Roman world in which multiple gods, you know, man-made, were just all over the place. And she was drawn to the notion of the one and only true God. So here she is worshiping in a Jewish community, whether she was Jewish or not. And in this time period, it took 10 Jewish families to create a synagogue. And what we know from this story is that there was not a synagogue in Philippi. So each individual family would have just worshiped themselves in their own homes. But the Jewish women, and possibly some other women who kind of followed along with them, found a desire to want to share some time of fellowship and prayer. And what they did on the Sabbath, which of course is our Saturday, but was the Jewish day and still is the Jewish day of worship, these women would go outside the community of Philippi, out by the riverside, and there they would gather and have a time of prayer and fellowship. This is where Lydia was. And because her name is the only name mentioned, it's probably quite likely that she was already a regular in this process. But it was there at the riverside that Paul and Silas sought out these women because they knew they were people, seeking a faith in God. And as Lydia possessed this unquenchable desire to know God, verse 14 tells us that the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. And in verse 15, we see that not only was she converted and also baptized, but so also was everyone in her household who also she had brought with her there to the riverside. So great was Lydia's compassionate heart then that the text also tells us that she said to Paul and Silas, "Come and stay in my house if you have decided that I am a true believer in the Lord." And she persuaded us, Paul and Silas, and of course the others who were there, who were traveling. They were persuaded to go and spend time in that lovely household that she must have owned. But you know, Lydia was not only a woman who possessed an unquenchable desire to know God, she was also a woman who possessed a genuine, compassionate heart for the care and welfare of others, right? I think that's what drew her to Judaism, because Judaism in the time period was one of the few religions that really focused a great deal of attention and financial resources on social welfare. In other words, caring for the widows, the orphans, and those who were unemployed because of either accident or just because of misfortune. And so here Lydia was very much drawn into this kind of community that cared about spiritual welfare and the welfare of individuals. Now, as you read on in Acts chapter 16, it's not long after this first visit in Lydia's house that Paul and Silas are once again out in the streets of Philippi, sharing the gospel. And in short order, they became very unpopular as they healed a woman who had made money for men of the city by being a demon-possessed fortune teller. And the men had Paul and Silas put in prison. And you know how the story goes, that while they're in prison at night, late at night, worshiping, praising God, the prison walls shake, and the doors are flung open, and the prisoners are able to be freed, but the jailer is about to kill himself because he knew that if these guys got free, his own life would be taken as compensation by his own authorities. And so even as he's about to kill himself, Paul says, no, don't take your life. We're here. We all have stayed. None of us have left. And the jailer is so inspired by what he experiences in the story about Jesus that he and his whole household is also saved. And as the story continues, of course, Paul and Silas are freed from the prison. But where do they go? At this point, they're kind of persona non grata in Philippi. But where do they go? As you read further into the chapter, you see, I believe it's verse 40, that they go back to the house of Lydia. There they find solace and refuge and encouragement and quite likely resources to step forward onward in the ministry that's to take place. What you have to understand, however, is that Lydia was also running a very big risk about losing significant portions of her business as this whole Christian movement would have been perceived as being unpopular and distasteful among those residents of Philippi. So you see, what was more important than anything else for Lydia was not her business, not her means of making money. It was that she possessed this unquenchable desire to know the one and only true living God. And as that unfolded, she also learned that Christ was the fulfillment of God's salvation plan for all of humanity. And we can venture a guess that Lydia may have had some bumpy times ahead of her as she continued to live in Philippi. But her faith in God and her generosity toward others was steadfast. But what do you and I learn about Lydia today? We learn that if you and I genuinely possess a desire to know the living God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit will unfold the miracle of that experience for you and me. And we can also have that great joy that we know must have been in the heart of Lydia and everyone whom she served. Out on the sign, it lifts up the text of Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Read through that text as you have time later today too. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. But the sign simply says, listen to God. And if we do that, we shall truly be blessed. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward, become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. We turn to our hymn of invitation number 612, O Jesus, I Have Promised, as we sing stanzas 1 and 3, please. 612, may we sing.
O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still, above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. Again, a reminder to our board members. Unfortunately, the board meeting is right after this service. I know it's the kickoff here in a few minutes for the first home game for the Chiefs, but hope that our board members may hang in there with us today. The rest of you, I think you'll be able to catch it on the radio because I'm letting you out the door here just a little bit early today. May we bow our heads in prayer. Watch over us, God, as we depart. Your Spirit empowers us as we strive to learn more of you day by day. And for this we give thanks as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. In hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give, with thee, O Master, let